from ABC News, I'm Bob Walker. People are still waiting for Nelson Mandela to be freed from a South African prison. The scheduled release is running about an hour behind schedule. However, ABC News has learned the release of Mandela may not happen for some time yet. His family went inside the prison about 30 minutes ago. For an update, here is ABC's Richard Sergey in Cape Town.
There is an air of enormous excitement and anticipation outside the prison gates as hundreds of supporters waving ANC flags are waiting for Nelson Mandela to emerge. Security forces are also lined up, as are hundreds of journalists and cameramen who are staked out waiting to get the first picture of Mandela. Here in Cape Town city center, thousands of people have been pouring in from black townships for a rally at City Hall that Mandela is expected to address a little later in the day. Richard Sergey, ABC News, Cape Town.
And have more news after this.
Home, this is my home, my haven through the years. Life, I've lived my life, and now my time is near.
You know, I think the hospice team helped Mike do what he wanted to do, and that was to live like he always had. He'd have files brought to the house, he'd do some work on the telephone, and actually he was able to do a lot when you think it just wouldn't be possible.
Hospice helps the terminally ill spend their last days at home. It's a special kind of caring, a loving way of dying. For further information, call 1-800-658-8898. 1-800-658-8898.
Let me hold on to my family. Let me hold them here at home.
I wouldn't have chosen a different route because we lived out every wonderful little minute.
Let me hold them here at home.
Soviet leader Gorbachev has dumped a 45-year Soviet policy, now says he does not mind if the two German states become one again. It was always Moscow's fear that a united Germany would once again pose a military threat to the Soviet Union. Gorbachev made his remarks in Moscow during talks with West German Chancellor Helmut Kohl. However, to add a little intrigue to all of this, the Communist Party daily Pravda said today that the West German mark would roll like a tank over the East German economy should the two states merge their currencies. The knockout of Mike Tyson and the crowning of Buster Douglas as the new world heavyweight champion of the world in Tokyo is already controversial. There is no doubt Douglas decisively defeated Tyson, who was on his hands and knees when he was counted out. But two major world boxing groups, the WBA and WBC, say in the eighth round, when Douglas had been knocked down, he was down for more than 10 seconds because the referee messed up the count. Tyson manager Bill Caton, who watched the fight from his home in Catskill, New York, agrees with that.
There's unquestionably a long count. I've timed it by stopwatch, and it undoubtedly went beyond 10 seconds.
Caden also said he thinks the world heavyweight crown is going to be in limbo until the rematch, which he says should take place within 3 months. The price of homes in most parts of the United States have risen rather sharply since a recession of more than 7 years ago, but several analysts believe that may not happen again, at least not over the next few years. ABC's Tony Sargent explains all this.
The big influx of baby boomers beginning new families is past. The Federal Reserve Board seems determined to keep inflation from distorting the economy as it did a decade ago. That means keeping interest rates, including mortgage costs, higher than the housing industry would like. It also means no surge of economic growth that would push family incomes up faster. So, fewer folks feel they can afford homes or need them as hedges against inflation. What's more, the new law to help clean up problems in the S&L industry has made it tougher for some home builders to find lending money. Tony Sargent, ABC News, Washington.
Voters in the ski resort town of Aspen, Colorado, vote on Tuesday on whether to become the first community to outlaw the sale of wild animal furs. That proposal came from Mayor Bill Sterling and his animal activist wife, Catherine Thalberg, just as the winter ski season opened. That so angered residents that there is now an effort underway to recall the mayor and the Aspen City Council, who put the fur question on the ballot. This is ABC News. A sharp increase in the number of known AIDS cases in China has forced the Beijing government into some changes. For the first time, medical experts are switching their focus from foreigners to dirty needles and infected blood. Officials at the Beijing Union Medical College told an AIDS prevention conference that high costs prohibit the use of disposable syringes in China, but all needles must be strictly sterilized. Ministry officials last week said 153 Chinese and 41 foreigners have the AIDS virus, compared with the few cases previously reported. For the ABC Information Network, I'm Bob Walker.
CBS News TV has a satellite feed from Cape Town, and we are going to join that.
Yeah! is one of your greatest days. I have pleasure. I want to ask you, first of all, to give our leader, Nelson Mandela, a dignified hearing. He will speak to you even though there are difficulties of the microphone. I now present to you the great leader who has been in jail for 37 years, who has done everything for your freedom. I therefore present Nelson Mandela to you.
Nelson Mandela on the steps of City Hall in Cape Town, South Africa. The sound quality is bad because of a problem with the sound system there.
Amandla eAfrika. Hayibuye. Africans, I greet you all in the name of peace, democracy, and freedom for all. I stand here before you not as a prophet, but as a humble servant of you, the people. Heroic sacrifices have made it possible for me to be here today. I therefore place the remaining years of my life in your hands. I extend my sincere and warmest gratitude to the millions of my compatriots and those in every corner of the globe who have campaigned tirelessly for my release. I extend special greetings to the people of Cape Town. The city to which has been my home for 3 decades. Your mass marches and other forms of struggle have served as a constant source of strength to all political prisoners. I salute the African National Congress. It has fulfilled our every expectation in its role as leader of the Great March to Freedom. I salute our president, Comrade Oliver Tambo. For leading the ANC, even under the most difficult circumstances. I salute the rank and file members of the ANC. You
have sacrificed life and limb in the pursuit of the noble cause of our struggle. I salute combatants of Umkhonto we Sizwe. Like Solomon Mahlangu. Ultimate price for the freedom of all South Africans. I salute the South African Communist Party for its sterling contribution to the struggle for democracy. You have survived 40 years of unrelenting persecution. The memory of great communists like Moses Kotane, Yusuf Dadu, Bram Fischer, and Moses Mabhida will be cherished for generations to come. I salute General Secretary Joe Slovo. One of our finest patriots. We are heartened by the fact that the alliance between ourselves and the party remains as strong as it always was. I salute the United Democratic Front, the National Education Crisis Committee, the South African Youth Congress, the Transvaal and Natal Indian Congresses, and COSATU. Formations of the mass democratic movement. I also salute the Black Sash and the National Union of South African Students. We note with pride that you have acted as the conscience of white South Africans. Even during the darkest days in the history of our struggle, you held the flag of liberty high. The large-scale mass mobilization of the past few years is one of the key factors which led to the opening of the final chapter of our struggle. I extend my greetings to the working class of our country. Your organized strength is the pride of our movement. You remain the most dependable force in the struggle to end exploitation and oppression. I pay tribute to the many religious communities who carried the campaign for justice forward when the organizations of our people were silenced. I greet the traditional leaders of our country. Many among you continue to walk in the footsteps of great heroes like Hintsa and Sekukuni. I pay tribute to the endless heroism of the youth. You, the young lions.
You're listening to Nelson Mandela's first public address in 27 years on KNX Los Angeles.
The young lions have energized our entire struggle. I pay tribute to the mothers and wives and sisters of our nation. You are the rock-hard foundation of our struggle. Apartheid has inflicted more pain on you than on anyone else. On this occasion, we thank the world. We thank the world community for their great contribution to the anti-apartheid struggle. Without your support, our struggle would not have reached this advanced stage. The sacrifice of the frontline states will be remembered by South Africans forever. My salutations will be incomplete without expressing my deep appreciation for the strength given to me during my long and lonely years in prison by my beloved wife and family. I am convinced that your pain and suffering was far greater than my own. Before I go any further, I wish to make the point that I intend making only a few preliminary comments at this stage. I will make a more complete statement only after I have had the opportunity to consult with my comrades. Today, the majority of South Africans, black and white, recognize that apartheid has no future. It has to be ended by our own decisive mass action in order to build peace and security. The mass campaigns of defiance and other actions of our organizations and people can only culminate in the establishment of democracy. The apartheid destruction on our subcontinent is incalculable. The fabric of family life of millions of my people has been shattered. Millions are homeless and unemployed. Our economy lies in ruins, and our people are embroiled in political strife. Our resort to the armed struggle in 1960 with the formation of the military wing of the ANC, Umkhonto weSizwe, was a purely defensive action against the violence of apartheid. The factors which necessitated the armed struggle still exist today. We have no option but to continue. We express the hope that a climate conducive to a negotiated settlement would be created soon, so that there may no longer be the need for the armed struggle. I am a loyal and disciplined member of the African National Congress.
therefore, in full agreement with all of its objectives, strategies, and tactics, the need to unite the people of our country is as important a task now as it always has been. No individual leader is able to take on these enormous tasks on his own. It is our task as leaders to place our views before our organization and to allow the democratic structures to decide on the way forward. On the question of democratic practice, I feel duty-bound to make the point that a leader of the movement is a person who has been democratically elected at a national conference. This is a principle which must be upheld without any exception. Today, I wish to report to you that my talks with the government have been aimed at normalizing the political situation in the country. We have not as yet begun discussing the basic demands of the struggle. I wish to stress that I myself had at no time entered into negotiations about the future of our country.
You're listening to Nelson Mandela's first public address in 27 years on KNX Los Angeles.
To insist on a meeting between the ANC and the government. Mr. de Klerk has gone further than any other nationalist president. In taking real steps to normalize the situation. However, there are further steps as outlined in the Harare Declaration that have to be met before negotiations on the basic demands of our people can begin. I reiterate our call for, inter alia, the immediate ending of the state of emergency and the freeing of all and not only some political prisoners. Only such a normalized situation which allows for free political activity can allow us to consult our people in order to obtain a mandate. The people need to be consulted on who will negotiate and on the content of such negotiations. Negotiations cannot take place. Negotiations cannot take a place above the heads or behind the backs of our people. It is our belief that the future of our country can only be determined by a body which is democratically elected on a non-racial basis. Negotiations on the dismantling of apartheid will have to address the overwhelming demands of our people for a democratic, non-racial, and unitary South Africa. There must be an end to white monopoly on political power. And a fundamental restructuring of our political and economic systems to ensure that the inequalities of apartheid are addressed and our society thoroughly democratized. It must be added that Mr. de Klerk himself is a man of integrity who is acutely aware of the dangers of a public figure not honoring his undertakings. But as an organization, we based our policy and strategy on the harsh reality we are faced with. And this reality is that we are still suffering under the policies of the nationalist government. Our struggle has reached a decisive moment. We call on our people to seize this moment so that the process towards democracy is rapid and uninterrupted. We have waited too long for our freedom. We can no longer wait. Now is the time to intensify the struggle on all fronts. To relax our efforts now would be a mistake which generations to come will not be able to forgive. The sight of freedom looming on the horizon should encourage us to redouble our efforts. It is only through disciplined mass action that our victory can be assured. We call on our white compatriots to join us in the shaping of a new South Africa. The freedom movement is a political home for you too. We call on the international community to continue the campaign to isolate the apartheid regime, to lift sanctions now would be to run the risk of aborting the process towards the complete eradication of apartheid. Our march to freedom is irreversible. We must not allow fear to stand in our way. Universal suffrage on a common voter's roll in a united, democratic, and non-racial South Africa is the only way to peace and racial harmony. In conclusion, I wish to quote my own words during my trial in 1964. They are as true today as they were then. I quote, "I have fought against white domination. And I have fought against black domination. I have cherished the ideal of a democratic and free society in which all persons live together in harmony and with equal opportunities. It is an ideal which I hope to live for and to achieve. But if needs be, it is an ideal for which I am prepared to die.
You've been listening to Nelson Mandela's first public address in 27 years on KNX 1070 Los
Nelson
Angeles.
Nelson Mandela at City Hall in Cape Town, South Africa. Nelson Mandela delivering a stirring 20-minute speech in which he spoke of a wide number of issues. He said the people's sacrifices have resulted in his release, and he pledged his life to the cause. He is still speaking. Let us go back to...
Ndinokuwathetha namhlanje ngaphandle kokuthi ubomi bam obuzayo busezandleni zenu.
Nelson Mandela getting a tumultuous cheer from the crowd in Cape Town, South Africa. He has just finished speaking at City Hall in Cape Town, South Africa. Among other things, he said that he hopes the climate for a negotiated settlement will be created soon, so there will no longer be a need for armed conflict. He said his talks with the government have been aimed at normalizing the situation in the country, but he said he did not enter negotiations about the future because he was not the elected leader of the African National Congress. He praised President F.W. de Klerk for his start, but he said more must be done, and he called specifically for an end to the state of emergency in South Africa and the release of all political prisoners. He called for elections on a non-racial basis and an end to white monopoly on political power. He said apartheid has inflicted terrible pain, but it has no future, he said. And then he promised to make a more complete statement later. He called for whites to join the cause, and he said it would be wrong for international sanctions to be lifted right now. And then he said, "We have waited too long for our freedom. We can no longer wait." CBS News update, the release of Nelson Mandela. I'm Rob Armstrong, CBS News, New York.